Thank you so much, Brother John. How is everybody today? Outstanding, outstanding. Every day is glorious. Every day you open your eyes is a day of being thankful. Because he's given you another day to worship, he's given you another day to experience, and another day to teach and share his word, right? Okay, so everyone, my lesson today is called Preparing for the Rapture by Asking for Forgiveness and How to Ask Our Savior. Okay, so I want to start today with a scripture. I want to read in 1 John chapter 1, everyone. So I'm going to go ahead and put it up on my screen for those of you who don't have a Bible or you just want to follow along. Give me just 1 second to prepare my screen, and this will take... Oh, there we go. Come on. So take me just a moment, and I will go ahead and get started. And... here we go. Okay, everyone. So in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, this is called the incarnation of the Word of Life. Starting in verse 1, everyone, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at our hands and have touched, this we proclaim concerning the Word of Life. The life appeared, we have seen it, testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete, it says. So light and darkness, sin and forgiveness is the topic here. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin, it says. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. Now, isn't that a powerful scripture, everyone? Look at what he says here in these words here, okay? So he says that if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What does that mean? That means for those in the world who claim to be perfect, who claim to already be well, they don't need the doctor, do they? He was sent into the world for those who are already sick, not for those who are already well. We were sent into this world as well for those who are already sick, those who need a doctor. Right? The doctor is the word. The doctor is our Savior. The doctor is the power of God, everyone. Okay? So I'm going to go ahead and switch my screen back to myself, and we will go ahead and continue with my lesson, everyone. Oops. This is difficult sometimes. There we go. 1 and 2. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and get started with my lesson today. And my lesson is exactly about just that. It is about asking for forgiveness, everyone. So to ask for forgiveness is to humble ourselves before the Lord. It is to admit our faults. It is to admit our weaknesses, everyone. All right? As we await the glorious return, everyone, of our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, right? It is essential to prepare our hearts and our lives for his coming, everyone. One crucial aspect of this preparation is seeking forgiveness for our sins, okay? We cannot complete this without asking for forgiveness, all right? For us to be saved, forgiveness is the way. This is what he said in the Bible. We must repent. We must confess totally of our sins and submit ourselves to him. All right, just as a farmer prepares the soil for planting, everyone, we must prepare our hearts for the arrival of our King. All right, This preparation, everyone, involves acknowledging the depths of our sinful nature and seeking forgiveness for all of our transgressions, all right? Not just a few. All right, we must understand that our sins separate us from God, all right? And only through forgiveness, everyone, can we be reconciled to Him. All right, the rapture is a time of great joy for believers, all right? But this will be an absolute time of woe for those who have not prepared their hearts. All right, this will be a time of terror for those who have not readied themselves for the coming. All right, for anyone who is left behind, they should truly fear what is to come. The desolate they will live in, full of sin without the Holy Spirit. That is a terrifying nightmare, everyone. That is a nightmare, truly, what they will go through. And I mourn for them for this. I don't hate anybody in this world. I don't care what they have done. All right, I love everybody, regardless, because we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, right? We are to love everyone as God has loved us. And what does that mean? We love everyone. All right, we love them all equally. So I love everyone, regardless of whether or not they believe in Him or not. Okay, I still love them. I still hope the best for everyone. I hope for the best, and I plan for the worst, okay? So must we all hope for the best and plan for the worst with all of this, all right? You cannot save everyone. This is what it was said in Revelation. How many people will fall, all right? So many that you can't even count. But what I will say is you can't save them all. This is God's will. What you can do is pray for those you can pray for and pray for those who won't believe, all right? Pray that they will see the light before it's too late. All right, we must all not be caught off guard, all right? But rather, let us all be like the wise virgins, everyone, who prepared for the bridegroom's arrival, all right? Remember these words. As we prepare everyone for the Lord's return, we must examine our lives and identify all areas where we have fallen short of God's standards, all right? That could be anything. That could be from something small to something big, all right? We must acknowledge our sins, both big and small, and seek forgiveness with a contrite heart, everyone. This involves humility. Remember, made of humiliation. Humility, which leads to what? Humbleness, right? And repentance and a willingness to turn away everyone from our sinful ways, all right? And I mean that for good. It's not easy. When you are stuck in sin, it's hard to stop. All right, this is why it says in the Bible that those who are stuck in their sin are slaves to sin, right? We must also forgive those, everyone, who have wronged us, no matter what they have done. All right, I don't care the magnitude of what they have done to you. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Remember that. Remember those words from the Bible. What Jesus said when He was being crucified, everyone, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And this is still true today. Look at the people. They don't know what they're doing, everyone. They're walking like robots. Robots and slaves to their sin, following their blind programming in this society. And this is what Satan does. He programs people from day one to be blind. You know, they cannot see. They can't see the forest for the trees, but it is our job to still try. It is our job to still try to get them to see. It is our job to try to bring them to Christ, everyone. All of these people, all right? Preparing for the rapture is not just preparing ourselves. It's trying to help anyone else we can to also prepare for this coming and to get them excited for it, but also to get them concerned about their sin. They have to be concerned, to want to repent. They have to see the importance of it, or they will not repent. If they don't see the point, then they won't get it. They won't make it. They won't pass that go. They won't cross that finish line. They will be left behind. And that is a terrifying reality, all right? So today, everyone, we will explore the importance of asking for forgiveness and how to approach our Savior for mercy. We will delve into the scriptures a little bit, all right, to understand more of the process of forgiveness and how it relates, everyone, to our preparation for this rapture to come, all right? We will learn, everyone, how to humble ourselves, repent of our sins, and how to seek mercy with confidence, all right? Let us come with open hearts and minds ready to receive the truth, everyone, all right? And to apply it to our lives, all right? And to others' lives, to help them to apply it to their own, all right? May we be found ready, everyone, clothed in white and worthy of His love when He returns, all right? So I'm going to go into Matthew chapter 24, verse 44, right? Jesus warns us, so too, you also must be prepared, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect, all right? So this unexpected hour, everyone, could be any moment in time. All right, I know there are lots of people trying to calculate when this rapture is going to happen, but the truth of the matter is, we don't know his exact day or time. We don't know exactly when he's going to come. He could catch us by surprise even now, 2 seconds from now. You don't even know. All right, he could be here a month from now. He could be here a couple of years from now. But I can tell you right now what I see is that the signs tell me that the time is near now. All right, we are not years away. I can definitely say this. We are moments away, people, and every one of us should be prepared for this, all right? All of us must pretend like it is literally 2 minutes away, all right? Like we are 1 second away from midnight, about to be taken up, and prepare ourselves for that kingdom to come, all right? You want to be taken up there before this rapture, or before the tribulations fully happen, because when you are left behind, believe me, you will pray and beg and no one will listen anymore. He will close his ears and he will no longer listen to requests for repentance. All right, he will no longer forgive people of their sins. He will remove the Holy Spirit from the world. And that will be a terrifying world to be in. You don't want to be in that world, because now that world is dying, everyone. That world is falling. All right, be not conformed to this world, everyone. This world is passing away, it says in the Bible. This world is passing away right before our veritable eyes, everyone. All right? We are not to conform to this society. And anyone who does will be left behind because they're not conforming to the kingdom. You must prepare as though you are already about to be taken up to that kingdom. Pack your bags of truth and belief and faith. All right, you can't pack bags of anything else. He will not let you take a single penny with you. All right, nothing in this world matters anymore. Not one material thing in this world matters, everyone. All right, not one single thing. You cannot take a car, let alone even just a twig with you. All right, the clothes you are wearing, don't even worry about that. He will clothe you in white. That is even better. All right, prepare for his coming, everyone. All right. So David understood this when he wrote in Psalm 66:18, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened, all right? The urgency, everyone, of forgiveness cannot be overstated. We are not promised tomorrow, and our time on earth is short. I promise you it's short, all right? The rapture could occur at any moment, and we must be prepared to meet our Lord, everyone. Unforgiveness and sin will hinder our ability to stand before him with confidence. All right? Let us not be caught off guard, all right? But rather, let us be like the wise virgins who prepared, everyone. Remember these words. The consequences of unforgiveness are severe, though. When we hold on to sin, we are essentially telling God that we do not need him or his forgiveness. This attitude leads to a hardened heart, okay? And we become distant from God's love and grace. And what does that do to your heart? He can no longer knock at your heart. It's like knocking on a mountain, all right, rather than knocking on a door. All right, you will not feel those flutters. You will not feel his messages. You will not feel his guidance if your heart is hardened. You will become hateful and dark, and you will diminish away from that light. You don't want that. That is a horrible feeling, everyone. It truly is. Once you have felt his light, losing it is the worst feeling in this entire universe. All right, losing his light and losing his love. Well, you'll never lose his love on you, but losing his forgiveness on you. And having him just leave you out in the wilderness is the worst feeling. Look at the examples in the Bible of this. How many people he's done that to teach them a lesson, right? So unforgiveness also affects our relationships with others, everyone. It causes strife. It causes bitterness. And it causes division and enmity, all right? It truly does. By contrast, everyone, forgiveness brings freedom, healing, and restoration, right? When we confess of our sins for forgiveness, right, and we seek it earnestly and honestly, we are cleansed from all unrighteousness and empowered to live a life pleasing to God. Don't you believe that, everyone? Don't you truly believe that if you ask for forgiveness, it will be given to you? right? The importance of forgiveness is emphasized all throughout the scripture, everyone. Jesus taught us to pray, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors," right? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, he also warned us, everyone, that if we do not forgive others, our Father in heaven will not forgive us, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. Remember that scripture, all right? The Apostle Paul urged us to bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, he says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, everyone. Let us take these warnings, all right, and exhortations to heart. And may we be found ready, forgiven, and empowered to live a life of love and service to our Lord, all right? So how do we ask for forgiveness, everyone? First, we must acknowledge our sinfulness and take responsibility for our actions, all right? He didn't commit the sin, we did. All right, so we must take responsibility for our actions, all right? In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, it states, "Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy." All right, and the truth will set you free, won't it? We must confess our sins to God, everyone, agreeing with his assessment of our actions, all right? This involves humility and a willingness to confront our sinful nature, everyone. We must come to God with a contrite heart, recognizing our need for forgiveness and mercy. Confession is not just a process of self-reflection either, and it's an honesty before God, everyone. Next, we must repent, turning away from all of our sinful ways, all right? In Luke chapter 13, verse 3, it warns, "Unless you repent, you too will all perish." All right? Repentance involves a change of heart and mind, a deliberate decision to leave all of our sin behind, everyone. All right? This transformation is not only possible through the power of the Holy Spirit, all right, who convicts us of our sin and empowers us to live a life pleasing to God, all right? But repentance is not just a feeling of sorrow either, but a conscious choice to turn away from sin and toward God, all right? We must be willing, everyone, to let go of our old ways and to embrace a new life in Christ, all right? Finally, everyone, we must ask for forgiveness, trusting in God's mercy and his grace. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, remember it said, it assures us, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." From all unrighteousness, all right? Doesn't matter what you did, all right? It doesn't matter how bad of a sin you committed. If you truly ask for forgiveness, he will forgive you. Look at people that are in prison that find God, who committed some of the most heinous crimes. They are forgiven because they truly accepted him in their hearts. All right, they truly repented for their sins. They found forgiveness because they found their Savior while they were in a cage. While they were being punished by society, they found the laws of God. All right, for violating the laws of man, they actually found the laws of God, these people. All right, look at these people. If the worst murderers even in history can still ask for forgiveness, can't you? Can't you ask for forgiveness from your Lord? Can't you repent of all of your sins, no matter what you did? Don't you believe that he will cleanse you white before his sight if you truly mean it, if you truly say you're sorry, everyone? We must trust in God's goodness and mercy, knowing that he desires a personal relationship, everyone, with each of us. And when we ask for forgiveness, we must also be willing to extend forgiveness to all others, all right? Just as God has forgiven us, all right? This cycle, everyone, of forgiveness and mercy is at the heart of Christian faith. It is the foundation for all of it, all right? Without forgiveness and without his rising from the dead, none of this could have existed, all right? No one would have a way. We would all be trapped in our sin and go to hell, everyone. All right? Trust me, that is not a place you want to be. All right? It is essential for our spiritual growth and development, too, for us to ask for forgiveness, all right? So truly, everyone, how do we approach our Savior for forgiveness? First, we come humbly, recognizing our unworthiness, everyone. In Luke chapter 18, verses 13 through 14, the tax collector prayed, all right? God, have mercy on me, a sinner. All right, if a tax collector's praying and murderers are praying, why are we not asking for forgiveness? Every one of us, it's for free. He paid the price so that we could ask for forgiveness for free. All right? He paid the price so that we could come to him and ask him for forgiveness of our sins and be cleansed, no matter how dirty we are. He will shower us in his blood and cleanse us white, okay? He will cleanse us white before his throne. He will make us powerful again and rise us up with his kingdom, and his kingdom will dominate this world beyond all of the apocalypse. Remember that the fires are coming, everyone. Just as the waters were coming in the times of Noah, the fires are coming now. I tell you, the fires are coming now. I see it every day, everyone. I'm watching these people all over the world. Everyone around us still stuck in their sins. And all I want is for these people to find God. I truly do. I find these people still lacking in their faith, not seeing the signs, not looking to the sky, not looking above. And do you know how terrified I am for them? I'm tearing up because I'm that terrified for these people. Remember this, everyone. Remember these words I say. It is this important that you save a soul. Or 2, or 10, or 20, however many you can reach out to. Because this time is now. It is so now, I can't even tell you how many signs I have seen now come to pass from Revelation. It is now, everyone. I'm not ashamed to cry. I love people. I love souls. I want people to be saved. Remember this. We must come to God, everyone, with a good heart, recognizing that we are unworthy of his love and his grace. Unworthy, everyone, because we have sinned. He didn't sin for us. He took our sin, everyone. Humility is not just a feeling, but a conscious choice to approach God with reverence and with awe, everyone. All right? Secondly, we come boldly, everyone, knowing that we have a loving and gracious God, all right? In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it encourages us. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The boldness is not arrogance, but a confidence in God, in his goodness and his mercy, everyone. We could approach God with assurance, knowing that he desires a personal relationship with each of us. That we must trust everyone in his love and his grace, recognizing that he is a God who forgives and restores, all right? This boldness, everyone, is not a feeling, and it's not just a feeling of a conscious choice either. All right, we are to approach God with faith and with confidence, all right? This is what it says over and over again in the Bible, everyone. As we approach our Savior for forgiveness, we must also remember that he is a God who loves and accepts us unconditionally, no matter what you did. Remember this, please. No matter what you did in your life, no matter how big or small, all right? He loves you unconditionally. Even the worst people in this world that he's about to burn, I know he loves them too. He still loves them, everyone. All right? Let us approach him with humility and with boldness, trusting in his love and his goodness. And may we find forgiveness, everyone, and healing and restoration in his presence, all right? Evangelists, my evangelist family, as we await the rapture, let us prepare our hearts by seeking for forgiveness of our sins. May we come humbly and boldly to our Savior, trusting in his mercy and his grace. Everyone, let us bow our heads and pray, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, acknowledging our sinfulness and seeking your forgiveness. We repent of our ways and ask for your mercy. Purify us from all unrighteousness, and prepare our hearts for your return. May we be found ready, clothed in white, and worthy of your love. Help us to live a life pleasing to you. And may our hearts be filled with your love and your grace. We pray for those who have not yet accepted your gift of salvation, that they may come to know you before it's too late, Father. May your love and your grace abound in us. And may we be a light in the darkness, shining your truth to a world in need. We pray all of these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and hallelujah, everyone. Thank you so much for your time today.